And this is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Charlie's trying to get our next guest lined up, but as always, if he doesn't, we still roll right along because that's what we do.
That's what we do.
And things happen, folks, and I know we try to promo and let people know as much as possible ahead of time who's coming on with us, and we do our best to make that happen, but, you know, sometimes it's beyond our control. Things just happen, especially on election day.
Oh, yeah.
Because you never know. People can get tied up. They can get on other phone calls. Different things could happen and so on. But, you know, if we get Sheriff Joe, we'll have him on. If not, we will continue on. In the meantime, we'll open up the lines. 303-477-5600. 303-477-5600. What are your thoughts on tonight? And be honest, if you're nervous, if you're afraid, you know, what do you think about, you know, tomorrow? All of that, let us know. Even if you're on the left and you think your side wins, great, you know, more power to you. 303-477-5600. I still think Trump wins. Early on, before COVID, I thought it would be a landslide. And frankly, folks, I'm still going to stay with that initial prediction had COVID not come along. And I think one thing that a lot of these quote-unquote pundits and even some of the political predictors are not getting right is, you know, for example, there's a guy out there claiming that he's done this since 1984. He's always gotten it correct. He's picking Biden to win because there's certain markers that he doesn't feel bode well in Trump's favor. Well, you know, he could be right, although you can't blame right now a bad economy on Trump. And I think most people, if you were to just talk to them, there's some hardcore lefties that are going to say it's Trump's fault, but there's some hardcore lefties that would say if Donald Trump has a hair out of place, it's not the wind's fault, it's his fault. I mean, that you're going to get that on their side no matter what. By and large, I think anybody that's got any kind of brains and common sense would tell you that the economy tanking is not Trump's fault.
Right. Well, yeah, but here's the problem, John. People in the middle are not big into politics like you and I, okay? They don't look at it constantly. For us, it's obvious. Well, of course, Trump has nothing to do with the economy. This is the China virus that invaded our country from another country. That's what shut down our economy. That's what's caused all the problems. But people in the middle don't think as deeply as we do. They don't connect the dots as easily as we do because they don't think about politics all the time. Do I think people in the middle will blame Trump for the economy? By and large, no.
Okay.
But I think some will. And that's the concern. I'm with you. I think Trump wins. And the interesting thing is one group of pollsters is going to be terribly wrong. You got this little group of four or five pollsters who are saying Trump wins tonight, wins big. And then you've got like 50 pollsters out there who are all saying Trump loses in a landslide. Mm-hmm. If they were right, he would lose 400 electoral votes.
First of all, if Trump loses, it's not going to be by a landslide. I can tell you that right now. That's my own opinion.
There's just too much
voter support running coast to coast where, no, I don't see him losing any kind of a landslide. You know, could he lose by, you know, 30, 40 electoral votes? I suppose so, but I wouldn't consider that a landslide by any stretch of the imagination. Nor would I consider if he wins by that many a landslide.
I was thinking Trump was going to win in a landslide, and I was thinking we were looking at a red wave, but this was back when I really thought the Barr-Durham report was going to come out at the beginning of September.
Which it didn't.
It didn't, and that hurt us. And I'm going to be honest, that really hurt us, because had that come out on time, it would have devastated the Democrats, and it didn't. And by the way, I blame Durham for that. I'm very upset at him. I think he's a deep stater, and he really disappointed me. The stuff that came out on Biden down the stretch with Hunter was damaging. Biden talking about oil at the debate.
Damaging.
Very damaging in Pennsylvania and other key states.
Yep. Trump's first debate, or, you know, the Biden-Trump first debate,
really
damaging to Trump.
Really hurt Trump. Terrible strategy. The second debate, really damaging to Biden. It hurt Biden. So what I see tonight is this. I've always said I think Florida is in the bag. I think Ohio is in the bag. My concerns are North Carolina and Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, right across those groups. I don't think, no one's going to concede tonight, but I think we're going to know tonight by 10, 11 o'clock. We're going to know who won.
Richard says if Trump loses Florida and Pennsylvania, go to bed, it's over.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. First of all, I don't think Trump is going to lose Florida.
I don't think so either.
I think the chances of that are remote.
Pennsylvania?
I give Trump a 60-40 percent chance of winning Pennsylvania.
Okay.
If he wins Pennsylvania at that point, I think the chances of Biden winning fall to about 25%.
Okay.
In my view.
Okay. All right, and Ken is up next. Ken, welcome. How are you, sir? What do you think?
I think Trump only lost the popular vote last time by, I think, if I recall correctly, 3 million votes. I not only think he's going to win, I think he's going to come darn close to winning the popular vote just from the energy on the ground.
And, you know, I don't know that I can disagree with you on that one. I talked to my brother a little bit today. We've been texting back and forth some. And the one thing my brother says that nobody is considering, of course, the media never will, is the voter, you know, the voter support, the voter surge, if you would, you know that excitement, that voter excitement, if you would. It's a big deal.
Yep, and I look at some of the excitement that was just self-generated out in California with people just getting excited for Trump. And California is a big, was probably could be blamed for almost all of that popular vote loss last time.
Yeah, so, agree.
I think they may have recovered a good chunk of that right there.
Gotcha. Okay. Kevin, I appreciate all the phone call. No, great stuff. Appreciate it very much. Looks like we do have Sheriff Joe joining us now. Sheriff Joe, how are you, sir? Welcome.
Oh, live and kicking.
Hey, good to hear it. So we've been talking, as you can tell over there from the last caller, talking a little bit of election. It is election day, as you know, so we're talking a little election stuff here. And, you know, first off, I know you got a book coming out, which we'll talk about as well. That's partly why you're here and had John before, so welcome back. But what are your thoughts on tonight?
Well, we're all praying for Donald Trump to be reelected. I was with him from day one, July 2015. No one will get on a stage, but I introduced him, made three observations that were born on the same day, Flag Day. There's a silent majority out there, I told him. And then I said, you're going to be our next president. I kind of stick with that. We're still born on the same day. There's still a silent majority. And I'm still saying, you'll be our next president through re-election.
And we, you know what, Joe, we agree with you, and I agree with you on the silent majority as well. The one thing we were just talking about a moment ago is just the voter support, the voter excitement that Donald Trump brings that frankly just isn't on the other side. And I think, you know, a lot of conservatives right now, and I'm getting, you know, text messages in as we speak where people are nervous about tonight. Conservatives are nervous. They're wondering what, you know, what the outcome's going to be and so on. And you know, I think a lot of that nervousness, and I'll get your opinion, Joe, is that, you know, the news media and the press, even for conservatives, they do a really good job of making it sound like Joe Biden's doing much, much better than I think he really is. My own opinion is this is a repeat of 2016, maybe not to the landslide or, you know, maybe not in a landslide effect. But I do think Donald Trump wins better than he did in 2016. That's just my opinion, my take because of what you said.
Well, you know, he's a hard worker. I've been around presidents. He's the hardest working president I've ever seen. So he deserves every vote he gets. And he works hard. He's done a great job. I won't get into all the details. But look who he's running against. Can't the Democrats get anybody better than Biden and Harris? I don't understand that.
No, apparently they can't, Sheriff Joe. And it's
No, they can't. There's the answer.
And by the way, Sheriff Joe, before I let you move on too far, Arizona, that's your neck of the woods. How do you see that playing out tonight? It's looking pretty good.
Well, you know, he won by 3% in 2016. I think he may beat that this time around. You know, the Hispanics were against him and me naturally, but I think he's gaining some momentum on the Hispanics. And the blacks. And don't forget, he's a fighter. A lot of people in this country like fighters. I don't care who you are. They like people to fight and never surrender. And he's doing it for a good cause, of course, because of our country. So he's got all that going for him and has done some great work. I'm not going to get into all the successes he's had internationally and domestic.
Correct.
But he earns to be real. If anybody earns to be reelected in any capacity, it's him.
Joe, so given the fact that you are South and you're as Andy just said, you know, the Arizona end of things, border control and so on, what have you seen along those lines with leadership from Donald Trump versus what we had the previous 8 years with Barack Obama?
Well, it's tough to make any comparison. Obama likes to play basketball, of course. Donald Trump likes golf, so even he can't compare sports. But I don't think there's much comparison between the two. So obvious who's better and who's done more for our country in 4 years than the other guy's done in 8 years and also had a fake birth certificate. I won't get into that. So
we saw a huge, and I know it was all over social media, there was a huge, almost 100-mile long, Trump train, Trump parade down in Arizona over the weekend. Did you see any of that or witness any of that firsthand?
Yeah, but I've seen it constantly. As I said, I've been campaigning for him from day one. I'm not a flip-flopper. I'm glad that some of the flip-floppers now found out who the good guy is. Of course, you got a lot of other flip-flop the other way. You got many Republicans right. are voting for Biden, so that's sad. But that's okay. They're not really Republicans. They just don't like the way he combs his hair, but that's all right.
Well said. Talk about your new book, Joe. Where can folks get it? How do they buy it? What's it about?
Well, that's my third book. I did two when I was sheriff, Joe's Law and America's Toughest Sheriff. But this one to me is more important. And I wrote it in 5 months, along with my publisher, David Thomas Roberts, who's a great guy. And I got a foreword by my dear friend, Ted Nugent. I don't take endorsements for his comments was very exciting. So it's a book that I think people should read. Sure, Joe Arpaio, an American legend, and go to Amazon, and you're going to see some very, very current issues.
Okay.
And just being the sheriff of this county, 24 years, I wonder how I got caught up in what's going on today with the Russian, the steal. The crooked courts and wiretapping me and predicting way before they're talking about it now about the hammer, the secret computer. I knew all that before.
Wow.
And
amazing.
The only thing I can say about the book, I've kept documents throughout my whole life, 88 years, and I have documents. I've done nothing that I can't prove with documentation around the world. So I feel very comfortable at what I said in that book.
Awesome. Joe, I appreciate it very much. Sheriff Joe, thank you very much. And we'll see how tonight goes and have you back again in the future. We really appreciate you joining us, sir.
And thank you for joining me.
You're very welcome, Sheriff. Thank you very much. Sheriff Joe Arpaio, appreciate him joining us. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, take some more calls, 303-477-5600. I know we had a call that came in. We had to drop off real quick to get Sheriff Joe on. Call us back. We'd love to chat. Ascent Health Center is next. Dr. Julie Marchio. And whether you're feeling poorly, you're just not feeling yourself, you've gained some weight, you just have different things going on that you're not sure, you just can't put a finger on it. Dr. Julie can help you with that and help you assess your health and make you feel better. That's Dr. Julie Marchio, 303-343-8800, or find her at AscentHealthCenter.com.
Which issues passed? Which issues failed? Kim Munson here. Wednesday, researcher-author Patty Kurgan, author-blogger Rick Turnquest, and producer Steve join me for a conversation on the 2020 election. We may not have a final on some of the candidate races, however, we should know the results of the amendments and propositions. We'll share our perspectives on the presidential race and update you on the final outcomes available at broadcast time. Tune into the conversation Wednesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., and again 10 to 11 p.m. right here on KLZ 560.
With every crisis, there is opportunity. Buying or selling your business? Kim Munson recommends Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. Find Chris Cantwell at KimMunson.com. That's MONSON.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John and Cheyenne, you are next on with myself and Andy.
Hey, John, how are you today?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm heading home from work and going to probably watch a movie. and wait until about 9 o'clock to turn on any of the results, just to let it, because right now it's just all guessing. Until some polls start to close, it's all guessing.
True. No, you're right about that. Till they're fully closed and some of the final numbers start to really come in and And yeah, no, to your point, you're not going to know anything for a few hours, even into tonight. Even here in Colorado, you know, folks, you could probably stop, get some dinner, do whatever you want to, start watching things around 8:30 and probably get a better idea then of what's going on. You're not going to know at 7 o'clock tonight what's happening.
No, you know, the talking heads will say, oh, this one won based on our polls, but you're not really going to know anything.
We saw that the last time around. You know, there were folks on CNN, Wolf Blitzer and others, talking about, you know, early on by 7 o'clock at night, you know, which is 9 o'clock East Coast time, talking about, you know, Hillary, you know, winning at that point. And all of a sudden, you know, wow, his head had to explode, you know, several different times as Trump started to pull ahead. And a lot of states, they had already predicted she won.
And that's the best when they're wrong and they have to admit it. You know, don't anticipate. That's why I kind of like watching Fox Business tonight, because they look at it from that business point of view. But the other thing is they'll take their time and they'll look at things like, oh, the market thinks, like today they were talking that they think because the market went up so nice that Trump's going to win.
Yeah, I saw that too. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I hadn't really said much about that yet today, John. And Richard had sent me that earlier today, and I thought, that's interesting, because typically, as you know, stockbrokers or traders and so on are very, how do you want to say it? Very, very finicky. They are very, touchy, and, you know, they like the status quo. They like to see things stay the same. They don't like change of any kind. They like to see things from day to day just keep moving along the same path. They don't like any surprises. So it's interesting that it rallied. It did well yesterday and then rallied again today, which would almost make you think they know something that the rest of us don't.
Oh, well, they know, because they have better probably pollsters out talking to people, because they're trying to figure out how to invest people's money.
True.
So they're probably better off. I got a question for Andy, if he's there, or is he out taking a break?
No, Andy's here.
I'm here.
I'm just kidding. Hey, Andy, so what do you hear from the old holding town about Wisconsin? Is Trump going to hold it?
I'm hearing that Wisconsin's going to be airtight.
Too close.
Yeah, too close to call right now. And if he's going to lose one out of Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, people are saying it'll be Wisconsin. And so it's that close. I think he's going to carry Michigan and Pennsylvania. John and I both think Wisconsin is one that he could possibly lose and then maybe make up by winning Nevada, which is a possibility.
Yeah. I'm thinking, and I'm an optimist, I'm thinking he's going to be up by three states. Last election, he won 30 states. I'm thinking Trump's going to win 33 states.
Okay, so which ones are you adding? Let me guess. Minnesota, Nevada, and New Hampshire? What are you adding?
Yeah. No, I'm thinking that just because of everything that happened with the lockdowns, I'm thinking he's flipping Maine.
Oh. I'd be all for that.
Because Maine's different. The senators go to the popular vote, and then they split the congressional delegates between whoever wins that area. So last time Trump got one and Hillary got three, I'm thinking he's flipping Maine.
All right, I'll be watching it.
Maybe not, but I'm thinking he's flipping Maine. New Hampshire's a possibility too. The problem with New Hampshire is the problem that New Hampshire and Colorado are in the exact same boat in this way. You guys let the liberals come in and flip your state from red to blue. And New Hampshire, the same thing happened. That was a solid conservative state. The liberals ruined Massachusetts, and they all moved just north of the border and started changing New Hampshire.
Richard just sent me something, John, along the lines of what you just said, that said rumor does have it that Collins in Maine might be safe.
That would shock me.
If Collins holds her seat and he flips Maine, even if he just flips the popular vote and gets three instead of one.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome. But the big thing is when the idiots come out for the popular vote, I always come back with, okay, we're the United States of America. How about each state have their own vote, and whoever wins the most states is president? And they all start stuttering right away.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, and even if you look at Obama's wins, He didn't win the predominance of states. I think he won 24. But he won the large...
The big electoral ones, yeah.
Yeah, well, John, yeah, let me tell you something. If Collins wins Maine, the odds of Collins winning Maine and Trump losing the general election, I would put at 1 in 10. I mean, yeah. Very, very low. So here's
all... I also hoping, and I think it's going to happen, because I got a feeling that Colorado is going to be a lot closer than you think.
Well, I think so, too. I think it still stays blue, but I agree with you, John. I think it's closer than what it was last time.
It's polling 11. It's polling as an 11-point advantage for Biden and for Hickenlooper. I don't think it'll be near 11.
Agreed.
No, I'm thinking Corey might hold his seat.
Ooh,
I'm thinking there's a lot
you,
of...
You have more faith than I have. I'm sorry, John, but you
do. I can't
do.
Go that far. I wish.
Just remember,
I hope.
Tomorrow, Wyoming will be three. We have three congressional represent two senators and a congresswoman, and they'll all be Republican tomorrow.
Okay.
If Gardner wins tomorrow, we got to have a John was right segment.
Yes, we will. Don't worry, John. We will have that.
Well, I'm just maybe that's just wishful thinking, but I'm thinking there's a lot of people in Colorado that live not on the corridor, but in the foothills that might have voted for Hillary. And stuff that looked at Cory Gardner and what he's done, especially with the Conservation Act
and
everything.
You're right.
And say maybe he did a good job or a good enough job, and it might split the vote where they say, no, I hate Trump. I'm not voting for Trump, but Cory's done a good job. Let's give him another shot. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, well, you have more faith than I have. But, John, thanks. I appreciate it. No, running along. Thanks. Michael, hang tight. We'll get to you. Hugo Chavez, also hang tight. We'll come right back. Mighty Hand Construction, guys, is next. And if you're in northern Colorado and you need help on the house, whether it's roof, windows, gutter, siding, additions, remodels, you name it, Mighty Hand is the place to go. Go to klzradio.com or call 970-844-9191.
You will get burned looking for the cheapest option. Micah Applegate and his team at Mighty Hand Construction find that a lot of homeowners don't understand the true value of a reliable contractor. Suppose you try to manage your own remodeling project and the guy working on your basement botches the job. Now it's up to you to make him fix it or find someone else to correct his mistakes. You call company after company asking for estimates and no one will call you back. Then once they finally do get back to you, they expect you to do most of the work yourself, including coming up with the actual construction plans. It's like they don't want your money. As a local, full-service construction company in northern Colorado, Mighty Hand operates character first, overseeing your entire project from beginning to end. Make sure you hire a contractor who will handle the process for you. Schedule an estimate now at klzradio.com/mightyhand, honoring God, impacting customers.
Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Kurt Rogers, who would love to help you out, in fact, can show you how to use the equity in your house to pay for some of those upgrades, in a lot of cases, not change cash flow. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Michael and Brighton, you're next.
Hey, John. Hey, Andy. How you guys doing?
Doing well, sir.
So I have my own prediction. I downloaded this little app where I could actually put in all the electoral votes and stuff. And as far as I can tell, Trump is going to win it 324-214.
Oh, wow.
And I did not count Colorado in that. However, since Trump only lost Colorado by 2.4% in 2016.
I think it was over 4, wasn't it?
Not to my knowledge. If you, the numbers I saw showed that he lost it by 2.4%, and that was because there was a third and a fourth party candidate.
That's okay. Keep going.
I think that with the amount of people and the enthusiasm that Trump has built up, even though he wasn't able to come here thanks to Kevin Polis, I think that Colorado could go red, and I think Cory Gardner's safe. I'm not worried about Cory. I think Cory will take it. I think it should be close, but I still think Cory's going to take it. But I honestly do not in any way, shape, or form fear that Trump's going to lose this. I think he's going to win it with, as far as I'm concerned, a landslide. Anything more than what he beat Hillary with is a landslide, okay, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, Michael, appreciate it. Good stuff. Good call. Appreciate that very much. Cassie George is next. Cassie, welcome.
And guys there?
Yes, we are. Go ahead.
Hey, Cassie.
All right. Well, I'm in the great red state of Texas, and let me tell you, anyone who says that Texas is going blue has probably never been to Texas.
Good.
Are you guys rocking down there?
Oh, my gosh. You would not believe the amount of trucks and cars and Trump trains. I mean, probably the last week and a half has been nothing but, I mean, every day they're out there. Thousands of cars.
Wow. Yeah, you know, we had a little bit of that here in Colorado. Unfortunately, we don't have enough of them to make the state red, although you heard Michael a moment ago predict that it does go that way. So we'll see. I'm not going that far. I don't see Colorado voting red for Trump.
Yeah.
We are a through-and-through blue state now. I will be shocked if Cory Gardner wins, but, hey, I'll take it if he does.
I agree with you there. I don't think Cory will hold on to it. I don't think Colorado is going to go red. I do think, however, that we will see some states flip. I don't know which one. It's not going to be California.
No.
But I think we could see a little bit of upset there. I think Biden lost Pennsylvania when he said he was going to get rid of fracking and oil. I think they were done. That really sealed the deal for him. It could have lost him Ohio too, which are both, you know, big states. And I think it definitely sealed the deal for Texas and, you know, Oklahoma. I mean, all these states that rely on that, you know, they really don't want to see their jobs go away right now. So Biden kind of messed up there. I think it'll be a really interesting night.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. And, you know, the states that could flip, this would be, you know, some of those that could flip and go, could go to Trump that didn't before. Minnesota being one, we've talked about that. Mm-hmm. You and Andy's state
definitely
of Wisconsin, though, I think is a toss-up. I don't know which way Wisconsin goes at this point, whether it goes red or blue.
That is a real toss-up. I was getting on my sister, who actually lives with me now, and she did not know that Texas is not a state where you can, which has same-day voter registration, and she thought it was. So I told her if Wisconsin loses, it's her fault.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Exactly.
But I really don't know. I mean, they in 2018, you know, Tony Evers, which is a Democrat governor for Wisconsin, won over Scott Walker. It was very, very close. And I know in the beginning of the year, John, we were kind of saying, you know, Corona probably has not helped Trump. But I think now looking back, the last few months, I think it has, especially in states that are controlled by.
Well, and by the way, real quick, one of those, and
like
I know you're tight on time. One of those states, and this is something we'll even ask Hugo Chavez in a moment. One of the states that could flip that was blue the last time around could very well be Nevada because of COVID, Corona, the shutdowns, the economy there, and so on. That was not what Trump wanted, and yet that's what their governor did. In fact, their Democrat mayor of Las Vegas did not want those shutdowns. Yeah, you could actually see Nevada flip. I don't know.
I think Nevada is one that could definitely flip, and that's not a lot of electoral votes.
No, six is all.
But every little bit counts. But
true.
I think that's one state definitely that, you know, has a smaller population. Their whole industry, I mean, their jobs, everything pretty much relies on tourism, relies on Vegas, Reno, all of that.
That's
and,
right.
I mean, I don't see how those people are looking at Biden and thinking he's going to do anything different.
No, he'll shut them down. He'll actually make it worse again for them. So that is one area where they could flip. Anyways, I appreciate you calling, Cass. Thank you very much. And I know you're tight on time. Thanks.
Well, I am headed to the gym to get some of this stress off. So
okay. All right. Well, have fun.
Yep.
Enjoy.
All right.
Good for you. Hugo Chavez is next. Hugo, you heard a lot of that conversation from some of those callers, Cassie as well, and even the flipping of Nevada this go around. What are your thoughts, Hugo?
Well, I have to be in that camp. I do believe Nevada is definitely in play. And primarily because of the Hispanic vote, there's been a lot of trending with Hispanics in Nevada, and he's had some pretty good rallies out there. So I can see Nevada being one of those. I can also see Arizona staying red. although a lot of people think that it's in danger.
Yeah, I don't think it is. I'm with you on that one too, Hugo. I don't think it's in as big a danger. And the reason why I say that is even the polls will say it's roughly 50-50. We know how off the polls typically are. If it says 50-50, it's red. It's Trump.
Yeah. So given those two, I'm going to have to disagree with you guys on the Rust Belt. I think the president is going to take all three of the states again, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and you have a really good chance of throwing in Minnesota to that. So combine all of that with what's going to be given. Florida, I believe, is a done deal. Georgia, I think they're making way too much out of it. It's a Stacey Abrams syndrome I think they're having out there.
I agree with you on that one. I think that's a red one too, Hugo. You and I are the same on that one. I agree.
Hey, Hugo, can I ask you something here? Because Obama won the Hispanic vote by 42 points, which was just staggering. Obviously, I see Trump doing a lot better than Romney did with the Hispanic vote. How do you see this going? I mean, he couldn't actually hit 40%, right? I mean, are we talking at best 35-37%? Which, by the way, would be great if he did that. But
are you talking nationally or statewide?
I'm talking nationally.
National. I would not be surprised to see him hit in the mid-40s.
Wow.
Based on what I'm seeing, there's several states that are over 50%. Florida being one of them. Texas has picked up quite a bit. And just nationally, the numbers that I've seen basically indicate that the president has jumped from 29% to 41% with Hispanics. So I just think it's going to be a tremendous boost. But then you throw in the black vote, which is trending 15-20% to Trump, and if that holds,
then it's over. Then it's over. I mean, would you agree that one of the things that has really helped Trump with the Hispanic vote has been the riots? And what I mean is this: when you look at those riots, Hugo, I see two colors there. I see a lot of black and a lot of white. I don't see any Hispanic kids.
Let's revise that a little too.
Yeah, go ahead.
You see mainly young white and young black in those particular riots. And by the way, it's male and female. It's not an either or. It's predominantly male, but there's male and female of both sides. But on the female side, Hugo, real quick, on the female side, it's young, what I would consider young white under 30 females that are typically in those riots. And I see no people of color outside of black, and typically not even a lot of young black women are in those riots. It's typically young black men, young white men, or young white women.
Yeah, I call it the white guilt crowd. Basically, you know, when I look at the protests and I distinguish between, you know, normal peaceful protests versus the violent radicals that are out there trying to really mayhem.
Correct. You're right.
And I think myself, back when I grew up in the 60s, okay, so enough said on that. I participated in quite a few rallies and protests myself. And my mindset back then was what I was being fed by leftists that I later, you know, learned what their real motivations were, people like the SDS and others, that had co-opted young college age people back in those days. And that's what we had back then when you had those massive anti-war rallies. It was mainly college age people.
Right.
So I try to draw the comparison there and think about how I felt back then and what I was following. So I say that to say that I can understand, you know, some of the mentality of some of the younger people today, because it's easy to get caught up in a movement. You don't want to be the one left out because all your friends are participating. And so I think a lot of people go along to get along. I'm not convinced that they're all as ideologically entrenched into the actual movement or the things that they're supposedly protesting against. So you have to take all of that with a grain of salt. Now, what we're going to see probably tonight is going to be the radicals that have been planning this this type of violence for a while. But my take on that is that this time around, they're going to be met with something that they haven't been met with before, and that is some serious force. And they're not going to put up with it in most places. Now, you might have a few radically dominated districts like maybe Portland and other places that might put up with it. But I think that you're going to see a much different response in some of the cities. And that's, you know, displayed by some of the reports that I've been seeing all day, that the National Guard is on alert in most of these places. Police have been planning for this stuff, and they're going to be much better prepared to. And one of the police chiefs that I heard earlier today on the news, he was talking about what they're focusing on is the actual agitators, the radicals. Mm-hmm. They know who they are,
right?
And they've got their eye on them, and they're the first ones that are going to get rounded up. And so that's kind of a take on the violent stuff. But the election, I'm a very optimistic guy.
So what are you calling the electoral votes one way or the other? What are you calling Trump versus Biden? What are your thoughts, Hugo?
I've done a couple of maps. My more conservative map has Trump at over 350.
Okay.
So, and I say that because there are some things that could happen tonight that are going to blow the lid off of this whole thing, and it's going to be early. It's not going to be a long drawn out thing.
I like the way you're calling it, Hugo. I'll let you go with that. We'll see how things go tomorrow. Maybe even get you back on. Hugo, thanks. I appreciate it, sir.
Thanks
for all you do for us here in Colorado. I'll give you what my electoral college numbers are when we come back, and we'll talk about that maybe even into the third hour. So I'll give you my thoughts.
Yeah, and let's also, you know, without just talking up, let's talk about some things that could go wrong.
Yeah, I'll break it down.
Sure.
We'll do that when we come back. Let's do that. Purify Chevrolet is coming up next, folks. Whether you want to buy a new or used car, they've got you covered on either end of the spectrum, and it's easy. Just go to purifychevrolet.com. I was on their website last night. It's easy. Just check it out. Highway 52 and Highway 85 in Fort Lupton, 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. You know, being in business for 6 decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purifoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purifoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
Al Smith, Golden Eagle Financial, is there to help you make sure you get to retirement, stay in retirement. And I keep saying have a purpose in retirement. A lot of folks get to retirement and then jump out of retirement because they don't like what they're doing there. Figure that out on the front side. That's where Al comes in. 303-744-1128 or find him at klzradio.com.
In order to make informed decisions about your financial planning, you need to find your purpose in retirement. As a chartered financial consultant and the founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith isn't a life coach. But he does believe that your finances should fulfill a purpose. Too many people focus exclusively on accumulating more wealth without considering how they want to spend their time. One of Al's clients rebuilds churches damaged by hurricanes in Texas and Florida. Another client drives veterans to their doctor's appointments. One retired lady hunts black bears with a bow and arrow. Another gentleman creates beautiful wooden bowls. How you plan to spend your time should determine how you invest your money. That's the difference between wealth accumulation and retirement planning. Schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial today at klzradio.com/money. Find your purpose in retirement. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors and SEC-registered investment advisor.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And through the 5 o'clock hour, we'll talk more about the map. And you can go to 270towin.com and plug in your own map and determine where you're at. It's really simple. The way mine works out, we'll talk about it more in the 5 o'clock hour. I have Trump 292, Biden 246. So I don't have him winning by a lot, but I do have him winning. Now, what I see different this time around versus last, we just talked about it a moment ago. I see Nevada going red this time, not blue. I could be wrong. I'm with John. I think Maine goes red this time. Again, similar situation to what has happened in Nevada. Not huge. I mean, you're talking 10 electoral college votes between those two states. It's not a huge issue. I have Joe winning Minnesota, winning Wisconsin, winning Illinois, and winning Indiana. I have that in Biden's favor. But I do have...
You have Biden winning Indiana?
Yes.
I do not.
No, sorry. Illinois. Yes, Illinois and Indiana. I do have Biden winning both of those. And I just threw it in there. I'm being very, very conservative. That's why I had That's why I had Joe winning some of those states, just to be very conservative. I'm not trying to, you know, be outlandish on this thing. I don't have Trump over 300. I've got him at 292 to win the Electoral College. I'm not having him over the top. I do have him winning Michigan.
I am going to go with, and by the way, we could be totally wrong. Trump could get trounced. I mean, he could lose in a landslide tonight. Here are the things that could go wrong.
I don't see that, but
no,
you're
I don't
right.
see
he
it
could.
Either. I
he
don't see
be.
It either. I'm predicting a little better than you. I'm predicting that he goes over 300.
I know. You're stronger than I am.
Right.
I'm being very, very conservative.
And, you know, the thing is, John, it's so hard to make predictions this year because the polls are totally bipolar. You've got one side that says he's going to get clobbered and the other side that says he's going to win and win handily. And I just have absolutely no idea. Here's what I feel is going to happen. First of all, I do feel he's going to win Florida. I think he's going to win it by a larger margin than last time. I don't think Florida is going to be in doubt. Georgia, I believe he's going to win. Here's my concern, and people aren't talking about this state enough, and that is North Carolina. If Trump loses North Carolina, I think we're in for a long, bad night, okay? And he could very well lose North Carolina. That's tight. And also, I think as his fortunes go in North Carolina, so go the fortunes of our Senate candidate, Tom Tillis, in North Carolina. Now, if Trump and Tillis both win North Carolina, which they had just eked ahead in the polls recently, so here's hoping, then it comes down to Pennsylvania. Biden has to win Pennsylvania at that point. And I think that's going to be hard. Granted, that's going to be hard because of the oil comments. But in Pennsylvania, that's the state where you're probably going to have the most cheating by the left of any state in the country, where it matters. I mean, they're going to cheat in California, but nobody cares, right? So I'm looking at this. I'm going to predict tentatively that Trump takes North Carolina and Pennsylvania, and it's done, because I think he takes Ohio. I think he takes Michigan. I think he takes one of Wisconsin and Minnesota. And that's why I put him up there. I don't think he's going to win Nevada. I hope he does. I think Nevada is a toss-up. I think New Hampshire, I think he has a shot at that, but I think he'll lose it. I think he'll take Arizona. I think he's going to take Iowa much more easily than people think.
Okay. Yeah, and I have Iowa for him as well.
Right. So, and I do think he's going to take Indiana. So I've got him probably looking at over around where he was last time.
Bruce from Minnesota, we got a couple of minutes before break. What's up, sir?
Well, living in the small town that I do, a lot of Trump signs, a couple Biden signs. But my neighbors went up to Moorhead the other day, and they went through a suburb, and there's nothing but Biden signs up there. If you look at the county by county map of Minnesota, it's the cities, Moorhead, Grand Forks, and the Iron Range that went for Killary last time. But this time, the Iron Range, there are six mayors up there that are throwing their support for Trump. So you can extrapolate that, take the Iron Range out. Maybe we're going to get a Trump train going. I have seen Trump trains of cars 200-300 vehicles in our little communities. Never seen that before.
Interesting. Wow. Well, and again, you are on the ground. You know far better than we do, Bruce. And I appreciate all the calls you've had, you know, tuning into us. And by the way, I hope you call us tomorrow as we get the results and kind of see where things are at. And my son and I are kind of arguing back and forth on whether Trump wins Indiana or not. He says, you're drunk if you think anybody other than Trump wins Indiana. If I flop my Biden to Trump for Indiana, then I'm at 303. I'm more in line with Andy.
Well, it's it. You know, if it went county by county, if you look when Hillary won, the only reason she won New York is because of New York City. Everything else went to Trump. Same with Minnesota. It's the urban sprawl and the big cities and California that
yep.
she won.
Yeah, well, and I do think, and Bruce, I got to run. I appreciate it now. We're up against a hard break. Thank you very much. Enchanted Kitchens, by the way, guys, is next, and they can help you with all of your kitchen planning, and I'm going to be doing this in the not-too-distant future, so I'll see how that incorporates and how they work up in the mountains. So we'll work that out with them as time goes by. In the meantime, though, it's Enchanted Kitchens. Find them at klzradio.com.
You need to stand in your new kitchen to know what works. You have some ideas based on pictures you found online, but you've never actually seen, touched, or felt the counters and cabinets that will become part of your daily life. The Enchanted Kitchens design team built their experience center with you in mind, so you could feel at home, only better, giving you the chance to visualize your new kitchen ahead of time. I'm Marie Christine with Crawford Broadcasting, and I'm over 5'10". I spend a lot of time bending over my countertops at home. The first time I visited the award-winning showroom at Enchanted Kitchens, I stood next to a countertop that reached my waist. Suddenly, I could imagine standing up straight to cook. As a Rush to Reason listener, the design team at Enchanted Kitchens will meet with you for free in their Experience Center to help you solidify your vision of a kitchen design that works. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
All right, hour two is just about done, folks. We're going to come back. Got a full one more hour coming. We're going to see if John Zmierich has time to join us today, get his take on a lot of this. He wrote some great articles on this as well. So we'll talk to him as soon as we come back. Otherwise, we got a full hour. Call in. We'll get the lines loaded up. Even if John calls, he's always a short call. So call us now, 303-477-5600. One more hour. Then we get election results start to come in here. Even through our 5 o'clock hour, we'll get a few early results. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hour 3 is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.